Welcome to Harvest at St. Andrew's, Oxshott. As Christians, we believe that God created the earth and everything in it for us to enjoy, to look after, and to care for. And in our first song, we praise God who faithfully provides everything that we need. We sing, "Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You never fail, O God." We're in a series exploring our vision under the title of Vision Matters. And last week, Philip spoke to us about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. This week, as it's harvest, we're taking the example of looking after God's creation as an example of what we can do as followers of Jesus Christ. It's quite challenging. And we're delighted that Andy Atkins, chief executive of our mission partners, Arosha, is going to be speaking to us about following Jesus in caring for his creation. Here, he explains to us a little bit about Arosha.
I'm Andy Atkins, I'm director of Arosha UK, and I just want to take 3 minutes or so to tell you about who we are, what we do and why we do it, and how you can join in if you want to. Nobody needs telling these days that the environment is in deep trouble, but there is hope. We believe that as Christians, we are called upon to look after the wider environment, creation, if you like, which our Creator God has made. We also believe strongly that we can have a huge impact if we work together to do this. So in Arosha UK, we started off with local environmental projects, including this one where I am now in Wolf Fields, our reserve in West London. But we are now trying to have a national impact, working with many, many others like yourselves to make a real difference for creation in this country and abroad. So we work in four different ways. The first one is helping to restore land, and this site where I am now used to be a dump. We cleared 54 tons of rubble off it to create what is now a lovely little oasis for nature and people in the heart of a deprived area of West London. But we now work with a network of other charities and churches called the Partners in Action Network to restore land in their area, to manage the land that they own for nature, for cutting carbon, to help with climate change, for enabling the local community to really benefit. The second way we work is by supporting churches, and we have a toolkit which we call EcoChurch, which now enables almost 3,000 churches in this country to address everything from what they preach, the theology of creation care, right through to cutting their carbon, how they manage their land if they have it, how they join with the local community on the environment. You'll be very, very welcome to join that if you're not already a member. The third way we work is by helping individuals and families to look after creation in their own home, in their own window box even, if that is the only land that they have, in their street, in their community. That's called Wild Christian, and it's not just a monthly email of good ideas. It's a forum where Christians can come together to share their own experience, to share their own stories, to share their own ideas on how we can do this better together. And last of all, Arosha UK is now supporting Christians in environmental leadership, whether they are in government, whether they are in a Christian denomination, but in charge of the environment there, and so on. We provide regular prayer forums, we bring people together for conferences and to share ideas on how we together can lead churches and Christians to have more impact. Now, we're only a small organisation, we only have about 15 staff, but actually if you add in dozens and dozens of volunteers that help us with preaching in churches, running stalls, editing the magazine, coordinating speakers, helping on this reserve, managing this and our other reserve in Essex. Actually, we are many, many more. If you want to be a part of that, please get in contact. We want not just your help, we want to help you with practical things that you can do if that is what you want to do. And lastly, we rely on support. We don't get any money from the government, and we are delighted that we have at least 1,000 regular financial supporters without whom we simply wouldn't be able to do this work. So if you are also feeling that you could do something financially to help us, please do get in touch. Now, all of the information you need is on our website, where you can sign up free to schemes like Wild Christian, sign up to a range of different resources that might be of interest to you, and also donate in ways that are appropriate for you, with a one-off donation or with regular giving, whatever you feel called to do. So if we can help you, I would be absolutely delighted. And if you feel it's right to help us, please do, because together we feel we could have a huge impact on this country at this time when we know that the environment is in deep trouble, but we have hope that as Christians and with faith in our God and using our hands and our feet and our resources, we actually can make a very real difference. Thank you very much.
Andy has suggested that before he speaks, we read Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, which follows on directly from last week's passage. The words will be on the screen, and Karen is going to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Andy has told me that he would have loved to have been able to speak to us in person, and I think he would almost certainly have cycled here. But instead, he's taken time out of what I know is a very busy schedule to record a message specifically for us all here in St Andrew's, Oxshott.
Good morning. Happy harvest to you. Harvest is the time when we stop and thank God for the bounty of his creation, which, among other things, provides all of our food. And it's easy to forget, isn't it? But without sunlight, without soil, with microbes and nutrients, without rainfall, without pollinators to pollinate our food crops, there would be no food and we would not exist. So today we thank God for the bounty of all of his creation, not just food, and we'll build on the teaching you had last week about following. I particularly want to look at what does it mean to follow Christ, to follow God in relation to the environment, what the Bible calls his creation. Now, can I ask you, have you ever reread a book that you first read when you were much younger? I did that recently with the wonderful 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, a Colombian novelist. Perhaps some of you will have read that wild, wonderful book too. Now, I loved it the first time I read it when I was about 20, but this time I saw a depth of meaning and a breadth of meaning I just hadn't noticed last time. Well, we as Christians can be like that with the Bible, can't we? Over the last 30 years, as the environmental crisis of pollution and climate disruption and species extinction has gathered pace, theologians have increasingly read the Bible with new eyes and seen just how much it has to say about what we call the environment in the 21st century, what the Bible calls creation. So let me give you, first of all, a very concise guide to the biblical foundations to care for the environment. First, number one, in Genesis chapter 1, we read that God made it. God creates the heavens and the earth, the land, the sea, the skies, the animals, and finally, humankind. And however we believe that came about, it tells us we have a powerful creator God, the originator of all. Secondly, God loves it. In Genesis chapter 1, it says that God looked at what he had made and declared that it was very good. Not average, not irrelevant, but very good. He loves it. Thirdly, and really importantly, God wants us to love it too. In Genesis chapter 2, we read, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." Now, work and take care can be translated as to till and to keep or to serve and preserve. So Christian dominion
over nature is absolutely not to be domination. It's to be exercised by serving creation on God's behalf, by being servant leaders. Fourthly, then, human sin created a breach with God, our fellow humans, and with the rest of creation. Now, one result of that is that we've been terrible stewards of creation. You only have to look at the news any day or watch a David Attenborough program to realize how bad we have been. But there is, fifthly, good news, and that is what the New Testament tells us is redemption and reconciliation through Jesus Christ, his coming, his death upon the cross, and his resurrection. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, we read in that much-loved passage in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now, the word used for world in the original Greek is cosmos, cosmic, universe. What it's saying here is that Jesus is good news for the cosmos, for everything, not just for us humans. And it's not just the visionary disciple John who wrote this. The very down-to-earth Apostle Paul writes the same thing in different words in Colossians chapter 1, verses 20, where we read and we read earlier, Jesus reconciles all things to himself on the cross, all things. And consistent with this, the disciple Mark goes on to write, we are told to go and preach the good news to all creation. Now, as Christians, then, we have a powerful mandate and obligation to care for God's creation because he made it, because he loves it. But if that were not reason enough, there's a sixth and critical point that we now need to take into account. Now, when Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment, he famously replied, "Love God and love your neighbour." Jesus is talking here about how we treat the vulnerable, the marginalised, the poor, the migrants and the refugees among us. Now, we now know, of course, that these are the very people suffering first and worst from the impacts of climate change, from biodiversity loss and other environmental damage, such as air pollution in our inner cities, which kills over 40,000 people a year prematurely in the UK alone. So if my actions are contributing to these, I am in fact harming my neighbour, albeit unintentionally, not loving them. So we as Christians have a powerful double mandate to care for all of God's creation. To love it because God does, and because people who God also loves depend upon it. So now let's look at how we can put that love into practice as individuals, as life groups, as the whole church. Now, you can sum up a practical Christian response to creation in three words: enjoy, nurture, and protect. If you love someone, you enjoy being with them, don't you? Well, most of the time, that's the idea. You will also want them to do well, to develop and thrive. You'll want to nurture them. And in the end, if they're being mistreated or in danger, you'll protect them, won't you? Think of a child being bullied at school or a friend about to step out in front of a car that they haven't seen. You'll rush to protect them. I think we can apply the same approach to loving God's creation. So let me give you a few ideas about how that might work. First of all, let's start by enjoying God's creation. Do you plan to regularly experience nature? If you don't, why don't you start daily trying to get a good walk in the country or just some time in your garden? If you're able to, get out and look at the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees. If you can't, if you're immobile, try to do that from television or from books or from poetry. Allow God's nature to speak to you, to encourage you, to point you back towards our Creator God. But then look at other things God has given us and how we can use those to protect, to nurture nature. Here are a few ways you can have a significant impact with relatively little effort. First of all, switch your household energy supply to a green supplier, a firm that generates electricity from renewable sources such as wind or solar or biogas, rather than polluting fossil fuels like oil or gas or coal. Now, when my wife and I did this for our home a couple of years ago, it only took her 45 minutes online, and we saved almost £200 a year. There's many reputable companies out there that you can find online providing an all-green, all-renewable electricity service. Secondly, you can reduce your fossil fuel transport. If you're physically able, instead of driving over short distances, walk or cycle or e-cycle. This will be better for your health too. Go on holiday in the UK or on the continent by train instead of by flying. And avoid unnecessary and frequent long-haul flights unless it's absolutely necessary for family or work reasons. And even then, try to offset the carbon emissions with a reputable company like our sister organisation, Climate Stewards. If you have investments such as a pension, and most of us do, switch as much of it as you can to ethical funds which are not invested in companies that are continuing to explore for fossil fuel or damaging nature through deforestation and so on. If you have a garden or even just a back patio, arrange it to be nature friendly with a small wild area for plants and animals, pollinator friendly plants and so on. There's lots of material available online to guide you. You can reassess the food you eat and reorient your diet to lessen its impact on climate and nature by reducing your meat and dairy consumption. For example, you can become flexitarian, going vegetarian on alternative days or eating meat at weekends only. My wife and I again went flexitarian a few years ago and feel so much healthier as a result of that. And finally, to protect and defend nature, use your voice. Have your say in public matters, signing that petition, writing to your MP or your local council or a big business, so that they are really clear that we as Christians want them, our leaders, to protect and care for creation. Now, of course, all of these things are easier to do with others, aren't they? Like so many things, I'd encourage you to discuss them with others, such as your life group. Start with the things you can do quickly. Don't fret about the things that at the moment are too difficult for you. Learn from each other, celebrate your success, and laugh at your failures, and then get up and have another go. Discipleship is meant to be a joyous thing, not all heavy. And to help you, Arosha produces the Wild Christian e-bulletin, which looks at different themes every month and has many ideas and biblical reflections to help you get going on these issues as an individual, as a family, as a small group, as a life group, for example. You can sign up online. You'd be more than welcome to come on board for that free bulletin. Let me finish now with some ideas for you as a church community, though. And here, Arosha's Eco Church scheme is helping many churches. Nearly 3,000 are now registered for it, including yourselves at St Andrews, as are half the Anglican diocese in England and Wales. So you're in very good company, including with Guildford Diocese, which is aiming to be an eco-diocese. Now, many of you will have heard these things before. I've said them about individuals, but they apply to churches too. So electricity. If St Andrews hasn't already switched to fossil-free provider, you can easily do so online. Or take transport. Do you make it easy for people to walk or cycle to church? Do you have secure bike racks, for example? Could you organise a car share scheme for those who really can't walk or cycle to church? Maybe that one's for after the pandemic, when we don't have to worry about social distancing. And then there's expenditure. If you're planning a large expenditure or investment as a church, whether it's a new boiler or a whole church refit, you can plan to make that as environmentally friendly as possible. Design care for creation into the building. Then consider how you can use your collective voice as a worshipping community. Now, there's a really important opportunity coming up this next year. Next year, in November 2021, the UK will host the crucial UN climate negotiations, known in the jargon as COP26. Now, there's an urgent need for the UK to go much faster in getting its own climate action up and running and meeting its own international commitments, which it's falling behind on, to be better able to lead the wider world. So Arosha, with other charities, have recently launched the Climate Sunday Initiative. This provides material for churches to hold a climate-focused service at any time that suits them in the year ahead, to commit to greater action themselves, such as going faster on EcoChurch. You might want to consider that at St Andrews. And then, very importantly, to join a common call for the UK government to take faster action to get the UK back on track with our climate targets. Now, that call's already up on the Climate Sunday website. You can sign it today after your Sunday lunch as an individual. You can also sign it as a church if you want to discuss that together afterwards. Now, our hope as a Rosha is to see 100,000 churches in the UK taking part, giving a powerful witness locally, nationally, internationally to a loving Creator God who cares for all he has created, and make a massive political difference in the process. Thank you for having me to speak. We at Arosha are deeply grateful that you are helping us and coming on board to support us as a mission church. We really look forward to partnering with you and exploring these issues over the years ahead as we learn from each other and exchange ideas on how to go faster in this really important aspect of Christian discipleship, followership, of caring for all of God's creation. It's never been more needed, but I do believe that we as Christians and churches are waking up to the fact that we have a mandate to do this. It's not only the right thing to do, but we can make a huge difference as part of our mission if we take this seriously. Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for the gift of faith. Inspire us to be closer followers of Jesus. Strengthen us in taking the steps you want us to take. Help us to be open to the changes you want us to make. And help us to become more like him. For it's in his name that we pray. God of faith, hear our prayer. Amen. Father, we come to you conscious that a total of 1 million people have died so far as a result of the coronavirus. We are concerned, and all our lives continue to be affected. Yet we have a hope, because we know that you are the creator and sustainer of all things, and we put our faith in you. Help us to live in hope, to encourage those around us, and to be the hope for others who don't yet know you. God of hope, hear our prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, you loved us first and taught us to love you and to love those around us. Help us to love and care for your creation as you intended us to do, and help us to love our neighbours as ourselves, to be mindful of the needs of others and to put them above our needs. Make us your hands and feet in sharing your love. We pray for those who are weak in body, mind, or spirit. And we pray for the families and friends of those who have recently died. Be their comfort and their strength. God of love, hear our prayer. Amen.
Thank you, Karen. Well, we hope that you've enjoyed our time together. I don't know where the time has gone. And that you've been inspired to think differently about living by faith, in hope, and in love, and following Jesus in caring for his creation. Our final song includes the line, "So let my deeds outrun my words." In other words, let's make sure that we turn our good intentions into action. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, unbroken praise be yours. So if you're looking for something practical that you can do to turn your good intentions into action, then one thing we can all do is support the Cobham Food Bank. You know, you can bring a contribution here to the church, or you can make a financial contribution online via the Cobham Food Bank website. But let's support our mission partners, Cobham Food Bank, at this important time when there is so much need and they are so busy. And if you're thinking about how you might mark harvest together with your family or maybe with the grandchildren, then just listen to this message from our curate, Patrick.
So for harvest this year, we have some ideas and activities that you can do together from your homes, and they'll help us to say thank you, sorry, and please to God. You can download everything that you need to do these activities from the St Andrew's Church website, which is where you found this video.
Thank you, Patrick. This is really good stuff, and there's some wonderful ideas. I hope lots of us will support this initiative. All the information that you need is on the website. Don't forget that it's the annual parochial church meeting this evening, the APCM, an opportunity for all the members of the church to get together, either in person, if you've booked in already, or online via Zoom, if you haven't. The details, again, are on the website. So it would be lovely to see as many of us as possible as part of that meeting later on this evening, Sunday evening, the 4th of October. And now, as we bring our service to a close, let's commit each other to God's love, care, and grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.